This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Thursday, April 23rd. I'm Audrey McCabe. Across the KVNF listening area, local governments have sworn in new officials and selected their next mayors. In Montrose, new council members Ed Uliberry, Michael Batayako, and Adam Wooden were sworn in. Ed Uliberry nominated Michael Batayako for mayor.
And we will accept a nomination for the office of mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I nominate MJB, Michael
Batayako.
Thank you for mayor.
Do you accept the nomination?
I do accept.
Is there any other nominations from the floor? Seeing no other nominations, we will accept that as a vote by acclamation. Congratulations.
Thank you. Batayako then nominated Uliberry for mayor pro tem.
The next item is the nomination for the office of mayor pro tem. Is there a nomination for the office of mayor pro tem?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to nominate Ed Uliberry.
Mr. Uliberry, do you accept the nomination?
Yes, sir.
In a similar vein, since there is only one nomination, we will accept that by acclamation as well. Congratulations, Ed.
In Delta, incumbent Councilwoman Katie Bowers and new council members Janet Rowland and Robert Huff took their oaths of office. Ronald White was then selected as mayor and Katie Bowers as the new mayor pro tem. Down in Ridgeway, incumbent Mayor John Clark was sworn in, along with incumbent councillors Kevin Grambley and Josie Scoville, and new member Trish Greenwood. Newly elected Orchard City officials Michael Hansen, Wade Kassman, Holly Mouts, and Duff Shawnee were sworn in on April 15th. The new Hotchkiss mayor and trustees will be sworn in this evening, and the new Paonia trustees will be sworn in next week. The growers of the famed Olathe sweet corn have announced that they're scaling back growing plans. Colorado Public Radio reports that farmer John Harold introduced Olathe sweet corn to the world roughly 40 years ago and even trademarked the name Olathe sweet. The corn won't be available at King Supers or City Market this summer, as the family stated that large-scale growing has become more difficult due to drought, pests, labor issues, and tariffs. They're pivoting to a smaller-scale, more personal way of selling by setting up stands in parking lots and taking online pre-orders to help gauge demand. Harold told CPR, "It's not like we're going to quit, but we are going to quit a national chain." The Colorado River District has announced that five soil conservation districts from across the Western Slope have joined the growing effort to permanently protect the historic Shoshone water rights. The group committed a total of $30 million, adding to the Colorado River District's $99 million purchase agreement with Xcel Energy. The press release states that the Shoshone Hydroelectric Plant, located in Glenwood Canyon, holds large, non-consumptive senior water rights that date back to 1902. These rights are essential to supporting flows in the Colorado River, benefiting agriculture, recreation, rural economies, and water users on Colorado's Western Slope and beyond. In December 2023, the Colorado River District signed a purchase and sale agreement with Xcel Energy to acquire and permanently protect the water rights. This agreement would safeguard future flows, regardless of the Shoshone plant's operational status. The release also states that soil conservation districts have long played an important role in working with landowners to help manage the land and water resources that sustain Western Colorado communities. New research finds that SNAP work requirements don't boost employment as much as they push people off food assistance. Tribal communities may be exempt in some cases, but questions remain about the wider impact on Indigenous people. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Daniel Spaulding has more.
The report from the Brookings Institution finds stricter SNAP work requirements don't lead to more people finding jobs. Lauren Bauer, a fellow at the Brookings Institution, says the requirements don't fulfill their intended goal.
But what we actually find is that work requirements only lead to reduced participation in the program. They do not lead to any better employment outcomes.
Nationwide, participation dropped by about 2.5 million people between July and December in 2025, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Under a new policy taking effect this year, anyone enrolled in a federally recognized tribe is exempt from SNAP work requirements. But Bauer says more research is needed to fully understand the impacts on Native communities. Thousands of Indigenous families in our region rely on SNAP. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Daniel Spaulding.
A small group of women in the North Fork Valley are inviting their neighbors to do something most of us were never taught how to do, grieve together. They're calling it Come Together to Fall Apart, a three-part community grief series at Mariposa Accidente, a regenerative garden and gathering space outside Paonia. The first event happened last month. Two more are coming up. KVNF's Brody Wilson sat down with three of the organizers to find out what it's all about.
The organizers say this isn't grief counseling, and it isn't a support group. It's a ritual, a structured space for people to bring whatever they're carrying and let some of it move. Sunny Morehouse is one of the facilitators.
When people come in, the first thing that we want to do is invite ourselves to settle into the space that has become an uncommon thing for us in society. So the way that we do that is we're gathering together in space and we are calming ourselves down with some moments of silence and some sounds, music or singing bowls, and then we are setting the container.
From there, the group is guided into meditation and then into shared expression. And while grief is often associated with the loss of a loved one, the organizers say the grief showing up in the room right now is much broader than that. Sarah Peterson runs the Paonia Food Movement and helped organize the series.
I feel like we are kind of in an unprecedented time right now. A lot of things are eroding and falling apart very intentionally by our current administration. And so I think there is a loss of freedom, there's a loss of environmental protection, there's a loss of norms, there's a loss of stability, there's a loss of kind of the placement of our country as far as being the good guys and being the protectors. And there's just, in my perception, like a crumbling happening of what we have thought and held as something that we can rely on. And there's so much happening that we're all needing to move through this grieving, and we're all doing it alone in a large part.
That sense of grieving alone is exactly what the organizers are trying to interrupt. But for anyone who feels the idea of being vulnerable in front of strangers a little intimidating, the facilitators have thought about that. There are rules: no crosstalk, no advice, no physical touch. Pre-registration is required, and the doors lock at 4:30 before the rituals begin. Here's Sunny again.
And that is why we have set some really strong container rules and guidelines, which is part of why there's a pre-registration and there's a limit, so that there's information that is coming to participants before they walk in the room of these are the guidelines for how we are going to protect ourselves and protect each other while holding a lot of emotions. So one of our guidelines is there is nobody in the room needs to be a healer or a shaman for another person in the room. Everyone has that. Everyone has that within themselves. Yes. So when we share as a group, and nobody is forced to share. If you don't want to do that, you don't have to do that.
Sarsa Buck co-runs Mariposa Ascendente. She attended the first event in March, partly as a participant. She says what surprised her was the relief that came from simply being witnessed.
Even just hearing other people's stories and what they're going through somehow helps others to not feel alone in their grief. And there's like a pressure in grief. And a lot of us do deal with it in isolation. And it takes some sort of compounding pressure off that, even if you don't share.
The next two events are on the fourth Mondays of April and May. That's Monday, April 27th, and May 25th, or Memorial Day. They're from 4:15 to 6:30 p.m. in the evening at Mariposa Ascendente on O Road outside of Paonia. There is a suggested donation, but no one is turned away for financial reasons, and pre-registration is required by the Friday before each event. You can find the registration link at mariposapaonia.org. So that deadline is tomorrow, Friday, for next Monday's event. For KVNF News, I'm Brody Wilson.
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Audrey McCabe.